Evening, everybody. Thank you for Linashe, for organizing this share last minute. I'm always very happy to give a share as long as people are happy to come. Thank you to Mrs. Saltzman for hosting this share in her house. When thinking about cleaning and preparing for Pesach, one important thing to understand and appreciate is that all the difficulty that goes into that work, all the sweat and tears that we put into, you know, making Pesach a reality, is what builds, it builds the yontiv in a spiritual sense. That hachana, that preparation, is not just a necessary evil. It's actually something positive. It's what creates the yontiv. It builds a spiritual yontiv for us. Think of a wedding, or a bar mitzvah, or any such simcha. You can spend months planning a wedding or a bar mitzvah and getting ready, and in the end, it's only one evening. That's the whole thing, or one Shabbos. And the people attending, who will often have absolutely no idea of the effort that was invested in making this a reality, right, and making this event the beautiful event that it actually is. But we know that if that effort wasn't put there, then it would be a disaster. People would come, they wouldn't have where to sit, they wouldn't know where to be, there wouldn't be the food for everybody, there wouldn't be enough food, the food would be burned, or the kala wouldn't have her clothing, she wouldn't have a sheitel. It would be one disaster after the next if we didn't put all that effort into making it a reality. And likewise, when we're preparing for Pesach, and when it comes for the Seder is the night of the Chasana. So when you think of the night of the Chasana, so perhaps you could say, well, we don't feel all that effort that we put into it, you know, that night. Well, we do feel it when we're very tired and knocked out. But the night of the Chasana, we don't say, okay, you know what, I'm just so tired, I'm just going to go to sleep, you know. And that's, you were working for months to make this happen, so now you have to appreciate it. It's not easy. It's difficult for a Baal Simcha to truly benefit, but we all do our best to do so because we put so much effort in making this night, in making this what it was, what it is for us. And it is all that preparation, all that work that's unparalleled throughout the year that makes Pesach such a precious and holy night that is unparalleled to any other night throughout the year. So it's an important mindset to have, that both when we're working, we're building something, and then when we get there, we are reaping those benefits, and we have to take advantage of it. Among Hasidim, they say, many different svarim, it goes back all the way to Baal Shem Tov, that hachana, preparation for the mitzvah, can give you greater benefits than the mitzvah itself. This is a point of contention between Hasidim and Litvaks. But the concept is true across the board, that there is a tremendous amount of benefit that we get spiritually from the effort invested in preparing to do a mitzvah. They say that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos, and everybody tries to figure out why. Is it called the Great Shabbos? Is it a great name? It's just an interesting name for it. Some say that the pshat is that's when Klal Yisrael started preparing for Pesach. In those days, there was no real chametz cleaning. So what there was is the taking the carbon Pesach, tying it to your bed, which was a great act of Mesiras Nefesh, but that was actually the first preparation that was made historically for Pesach, and that's what made it into a great Shabbos. It made it tremendous. There was a tremendous amount of spirituality that came with just that itself, the fact that they're preparing for Yantiv. I saw quoted from the son of the Naim al-Malach, his name was Rabbi Eliezer. He said that the Medrash says, the Gemara really says, in Megillah, famous Gemara, that Haman, when he was trying to condemn the Jews to Achashverosh, so he said that when you come to ask them to participate in anything, you know, for the nation, they say Pesach Hayim, Shabbos Hayim, Pesach Hayim. One of the things they say is that today is Pesach, we can't, you know, we're not able to, always have an excuse. So he says, you know, what kind of transparent lie is that? Everybody knows Pesach is one day a year, 1 week a year, right? What do you mean, every day of the year they say it's Pesach? So he says, no. For Jews, they're worried about Pesach the whole year. They actually are overwhelmed by Pesach the whole year. I'm sorry, I just don't have the head for it. I'm busy with Pesach. And, you know, those days it was the middle of the winter, you had to start busy with the wheat for the matzah and grow it and cut it. There was a lot more than just cleaning. There was all the things we need for Pesach you had to do on your own. So it was true. It was, for a Jew, it was all year as Pesach again. So step one in preparation for Pesach and moving forward is to treat all the work that we're doing as a holy task. It's an exalted task, and it yields tremendous benefits and so that we can truly get the full Kedusha and Tahara that comes from it. And when we come to the night of the Seder, we need to sit back and enjoy it and do our best to get what we have built ourselves with our own hands. They say, in the name of the Stalner Rebbe, the first Stalner Rebbe of Aaron Karliner, that the Seder, which means an organized process, he says is exactly that. It gives us a Seder for the whole year. It puts into motion how our year should be lived, what kind of things we should focus on, how we should grow, how we should improve. And the truth is, you see this sentiment very clearly in the Haggadah. The bracha that we say when we close Magid, which is the bracha of Asher Galanos, it's the bracha we say on the Kais, after the second Kais of the Dal Kaisis. This is the bracha. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kenem Malchus Olam, Asher Ga'alanu, that you redeemed us, V'gal, Asaveseinu, and you redeemed our forefathers, Mimitzrayim, from Mitzrayim. V'higyanu alayil hazeh, we've reached this night, Lachol b'matzah mar, to eat matzah and mar. Ken Hashem alekenu, v'lekeh aveseinu, likewise Hashem, Yagienu, Lumayadim Ulurgalam Acherim, bring us to other Yamim Taivim, other Mayadim, other Rugalim, Habayim Lakrisain Loshalam, that should come in peace. Smechim Bevinyan Erecha, we should rejoice in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, Vesasim Bevidisacha, and we should be able to rejoice in serving you in the Beis HaMikdash with Karbanis, Venechel Shaman Azvachim and Apsachim, so that we can eat from the Azvachim and the Psachim. That's a fascinating bracha. When else do we ever make such a bracha? What are we saying? We're saying, we came tonight to do all these mitzvahs. Hashem, take us to the next yantiv. Get us to Shavuos. Get us to Sukkot. Get us to Rosh Hashanah. We don't say that anything like that on Shavuos. We don't say anything like that on Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. For the rest of the year, we never say that. But somehow on Pesach, the first bracha that we're making to kind of celebrate what's going on, we say, Hashem, we're already worried about the next yantiv. We're saying, take us to Shavuos and take us to Yom Tov and take us to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. What's going on here? It's clear that that is the sentiment that our Seder is a start. It's a haschala. It's giving a Seder. It's giving us a path forward in growth to truly get the benefit of all those Yom Tovim that are coming out. Sat Nisan is the beginning of the year in terms of the cycle of the Yom Tovim. It starts with Chesh Harishon. It's the first month of the year as far as that's concerned. And it is also what gives it a path, a derech, and a purpose, a goal. There is, I believe it's the Baal HaTanya who says this in Tanya. I didn't check it up now, but I'm pretty sure it was him that says, also Pasuk in Megillas Esther, that the women who prepared themselves to be seen by Achashverosh had to prepare for 12 months. And 6 months was Shisha Chadashim B'Shemen Hamar and Shisha Chadashim B'Abshamim, Tamruke Hanashim. So there was 6 months with Shemen Hamar, the Shemen of Myrrh, and 6 months with B'Shamim. So the Gemara says that Shem Hamar was there to remove blemishes. So for 6 months, they were working on removing all the blemishes, imperfections, hair, anything. That's what Shem Hamar took away. And then the next 6 months was Bebesamim, that was to add beauty and add fragrance and add all the things that makeup and Besamim can add. And he says that this is a representative of how our year is structured. From the first 6 months of the year, from Rosh Hashanah till Pesach, is Shemen Hamar. We try to take care of the blemishes. It's focused on tshuva. It's focused on repentance and on changing the past and making ourselves, so to speak, perfect. Then, the next 6 months of the year that begin with Pesach is Bebesamim and Mesur Mukhe Hashem. That's when we add mitzvahs, we add fragrance, we start a new path of growth so that we become different people, new people, and we can usher in all the other Yom Tovim as well to know where we're headed with it. So that's why we ask Hashem, we're about to perform all the mitzvahs of the night of Pesach, Matzah and Marah, and we hope that this will be the catalyst to get to all the Yom Tovim the rest of the year and live through them and benefit from them in the greatest way possible, to achieve the greatest closeness and holiness that we're capable of. And that's why we mention that essentially the greatest would be is if we would go back to Yerushalayim and we'd be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Beis HaMikdash, because that would be the highest level of closeness possible. So that's what we set our sights on. You know, halavai, we get that far. But that's where we're headed. That's what we're headed with the Pesach Seder. We're trying to create the stage, set the stage for a year of growth that moves onwards and upwards. So now that we know what kind of mindset we should have during these weeks preparing for the Seder, and we know now what kind of mindset the Seder is supposed to be, so now, the night of the chasana, you start the chasana kala off, the joyous, most joyous night of their life. You want to start them off on the right foot. So we're the chasana kala on the night of Pesach. So we have to start off on the right foot. So how do we do that? How can we utilize the Seder to create Seder? So every person has their own life, and everybody knows themselves what areas they can use for work and growth, and all themes of Yiddishkeit are reflected in the Seder. I mean, anything that is important to you, near and dear to us, you'll find it in the Pesach Haggadah, in the Seder. There's Bitachin and Amunah, of course. There's Hakaras HaTayiv in droves. There's Achdus, there's Ben Adam L'Chver. Every Midah, there's Lashon. Anything you can think of, it's there, and you can find it there. Not, you don't have to work too hard. But I want to talk about this year what I think all of Klal Yisrael needs some Seder with, as a whole. How should we incorporate the changed world around us since October 7th? And change, make it into meaningful growth and improvement moving forward with the Pesach Seder. And I think if we can do that, and if we can make meaning out of what's been going on around us, it will tap into all the things that are important to us, all the aspects of what we struggle with on our own throughout the year. We witnessed this year transformation. So many things have transformed in front of our eyes that it becomes difficult even to remember what it was like before. It became suddenly okay to openly hate Jews. Wasn't like that before. Now it's fine, it's cool. But simultaneously, as a result, almost, Judaism became a source of pride like never before. And somehow the most intelligent people, at least purporting to be the most intelligent among the nations, were the ones who expressed the greatest hatred in the universities and the colleges. But at the same time, the most liberal and emancipated Jews suddenly turned back to ancient and outdated practices to give meaning in their identity. I was invited, many of you know, I was invited by Judge Thompson to speak in the National Courts building. And there were about 25 to 30 people there, judges and lawyers. Some of them were religious, but a great percent were not, over 50% were not. And we were not just not religious, but there were people who would never, ever consider going to a Torah shir given by an Orthodox rabbi with a beard and paste. That was like, not out of the question. I mean, if you would have met some of the people there, you would know what I'm talking about. It would not have dawned on them or us that they would ever even consider such a thing. And they came. And it was a full-blown speech. I would have given that it did give in shul. You know, it was not any different. I was saying authentic Torah values and thoughts. And after I finished that first time, they peppered me with a bunch of questions, and they were asking about innocent people and about this and all the things that, you know, everybody's asking about. And I gave them what I perceived to be a Torah Hashkafa, and they listened and they accepted it. You know, something that was antithetic. It was against what they believed previously. And they asked me to come back again, which was, I guess, the greatest testament to their interest. We saw and continue to see throughout this year people gaining levels of emuna and bitachin that are so real, they're so strong, you can like cut it with a knife. It's like, that's what we saw about people. And previously we would think that this kind of emuna and this kind of bitachin, you need years to develop that. Like, you need years of work and toil and musa svarim and shiurim to get to anywhere near that kind. And suddenly people who had no connection to it are demonstrating that kind of emunah and bitachin. And it demonstrates that it's there. It's really in all of us. We just need to tap into it. But it's very accessible. And many of these people who are not observant, and perhaps not even still not observant, and though they begin to take on some mitzvahs, but their faith through the most difficult and horrendous times flourishes as a result of it. We just listened to an interview, perhaps many of you did also, to a hostage that was recently freed, Sapir Cohen, a woman. It's the most amazing interview. It's worthwhile listening to. And, she, not religious at all. She was captured. I think she was by the rave.
She wasn't there.
She was around her. In any case, She was captured. She was dragged into Gaza. She describes herself as a pachtanit, someone that's naturally fearful and anxious. But she saw that the people around her were depressed and dejected and losing hope. And she saw that she had the power to cheer them up. And she changed herself. And she was then a source of inspiration for the people around her. She cheered them up. She made them laugh. She was, like she said, you know, if we're in Gaza already, we may as well see the sights to see here. They're pulled into the tunnels, you know. And she just goes through story after story how she demonstrated such hope and courage and faith in literally the depths of darkness. And she says then how afterwards she was wondering where she got it from. And she says that her mother, from the day that she was captured as a hostage, she invited people to learn Torah in her house. Again, people are not religious. And they were people coming and they were crying and they were diving. And she said, no, we're not going to cry. We're going to learn and we're going to project positivity so that she can get some happy vibes over there in Gaza. She said, now I know where I got it from. As this is just, it's just mind-blowing things to hear a person speaking about B'tachon Hashem, like it's something you can hold in your hand, like an apple. It's that real to her, to someone who didn't necessarily know what the term meant before. Now, we would have thought before October 7th that an event like that would cause so many people to doubt, to question Hashem's involvement in the world and become confused. And I imagine that is happening to some degree. It's inevitable, but that's not the overwhelming response. The overwhelming response, at least that we're hearing and we're being exposed to, is one of faith, of love, and of pride in being a Jew. And it's clear as a result, and I was thinking about this, when you look back then now on the Haggadah, and we talk about the slavery and the Shibudim Mitzrayim and all that, the bitterness and difficulty that Klal Yisrael had to go through, it's clear that those years were crucial for their development as a nation. Klal Yisrael entered Mitzrayim as a family. They were a family. There was the Shvatim, their grandchildren. They were great-grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu. It was a family. Family was a family with quite a bit of family politics, right? They sold Joseph, you know, don't say biblical levels of politics. But they were not a nation. A nation is very different than a family. Family keeps together a little bit. Second cousins, third cousins, eventually fourth cousins. They don't even know who you are. They don't even know the last name is part of their family. Great-grandfather never heard of him. Right? Families don't have the intrinsic ability to stay together. A nation does. And they, Klal Yisrael, had to change from a family into an am, into a nation that cares about each other, looks after each other, and identifies with each other. And that's what happened. And it took hundreds of years for that to happen, truly. And it happened because Klal Yisrael kept their identity throughout. They were Lashina Shmam, Lashina Mabusham. They kept their identity. They kept the way they dress. They identify themselves. They call themselves. They speak. But most importantly, as Chazal say, they took a pact that they were going to look out for each other. They were going to be Goymul Chesed Zelazet. Chazal said in the Medrash, with the same breath that they said, we're going to keep the way we dress, we're going to keep the way we talk, they also said, we are going to continue looking out for each other. We're going to have gemachs, we're going to have gemos chasadim, we're going to have organizations and bikur chaylims, and all the things that are now part and parcel of what Yiddishkeit is, that is what formed them into an Am Hashem, into a cohesive nation. And once we're a nation, then the two people who don't know each other, they don't know their names, they don't even look like each other, they don't seem to identify with each other, all of a sudden they can hug each other in the middle of the street. We're both Jews. That took a Mitzrayim hundreds of years to create. And the thing about difficulty and you know, pain is that I saw this story in To Vanquish a Dragon, written by Pearl Banish, Allah Shalom, a Holocaust survivor, writing about her experiences in the Holocaust. And she writes how just when her parents were deported, it was towards the beginning of the war, not everybody knew exactly what it meant to be deported, where they were going. So she was in a great state of sense of confusion. They were put on a train, they disappeared. She tried to follow the train. So she went from town to town in Poland, thinking that she was following the path of the train. And eventually she gave up and she despaired. So she was in a town in Poland, one of the smaller towns, and she found out that the Balzer Rebbe was being hidden, and he was hiding in that town. And she managed to gain access to him. So she told him her whole story, and she was crying and crying. And in the course of her telling her story, she said, "Rebbe, it's so bad. It's so schlacht." And he told her, "This is bitter. This is nicht schlacht. It's bitter, but it's not bad." And that is the essence of what Mara is. Mara is bitter. Mara is not bad. Things that are bitter are very important, as is food. That what's bitter is very important as a flavoring, right? We eat, the Kohanim are commanded when they ate the karbanis, they had to eat it with mustard. You have to eat it with something bitter in order to bring out the flavor. And that was considered the royal way to eat. Ram Avinu, when he served the malachim, he gave them l'shaynes b'chardel, he gave them a tongue with mustard. So something which is bitter has a place, and it has an important part. It brings out and it develops and it helps a cohesive whole reach its full potential and its what it can be. So we don't ever, chas v'shalom, look for pain and want difficulty or nisyanis. We don't. But after the fact, we can embrace it. After the fact, we can see how much we've benefited from it. And I heard that from so many people after October 7th. It was like, this is terrible, it was horrible, and it was. But we were all able to see, wow, look what happened as a result. We don't understand why Hashem does things, and we accept the fact that we don't understand. We're not even trying to understand what Hashem's plan is, how everything makes sense. That's not our job. What we could see is what we benefit from it. And the benefit was tremendous. It was such a true reality. I mean, there was such jaw-dropping demonstrations of achdus and love between Yidden immediately after and throughout, between the people who are Meister Nefesh, the Zaka and the Hatzalah people, and then all the people who just went out of their way to do chesed, to grill for the troops and to donate blood. And he's telling us that there was like a line around the block just to be there to donate blood. The chesedim, we all watched it and witnessed it. It was just another level. It was unimaginable. It was something we couldn't comprehend happening before it happened. And once all that happened, we said, wow, it's such a shame that this is what was necessary to bring us to it. But now that it did, we can appreciate what it has accomplished. We could have maror as a symbolic thing. It could sit there on the table and we could say, look at it and remember that slavery was so bad. But we don't do that. We actually eat the maror. And that's what Jews do. We accept the bitterness and then we say, you know what? We're better because of it. And we understand that and we appreciate it. And we thank Hashem for it. The very thing that inspired all Jews to have pride in who they are is what the Seder is all about. Why does everybody hate us? We must have something very special. What do we have? What is it that we have that's so special? So the most special and unique relationship with Hashem, that's what we have. We have His Torah. We have His directions, how to connect with Him, how to become one with Him, how to communicate with Him. What He wants from us, what our mission is, we know that. We've been taught that, we've accepted it, and we're willing to accept it. We're willing to live with that. We have a unique way of davening, that we have Hashem's ear. Who other nation is as great that has Hashem close, listening to our tefillahs when we daven to Him? And so many people are experiencing this as a reality now. So we certainly have to. That's what our job is with this Pesach Seder. So here's a new version of Manishtana. Maybe just use it as a way to remember the different things that you can think about on the night of Pesach. There are four things that we can ask ourselves this year, how this year has been different from all other years, so that the coming year will be different as well, because we're going to change because of it. So the first question we ask in the Manishtana is, why is this night different than all nights of the year? Every other night is chametz and matzah, and tonight is only matzah. So meaning, until now we thought or people thought, that there's a place in the world for chametz. And chametz means that, you know, you take it easy. You don't, you could be mesiach das, you don't have to think about it all the time. You don't have to babysit it like you babysit matzah. I mean, now there's sourdough, you have to babysit that also. There's a new kind of sa'ar, you also have to babysit. But anyway, regular matzah, you have to be on top of it and constantly think about it. Every all 18 minutes and you can't let it go a moment without being busy with it. And chametz, you know, you can let it sit and it does its thing and you come back, you punch it down and you let it go further. A Jews used to think, and let's talk about Jews that they had no connection to Judaism, and they thought their Judaism was a thing, you know. They were Jews, Jews in name only, and it wasn't a big deal. It didn't make a big difference. And what was demonstrated to us is that every Jew is kulei matzah. We aren't given that opportunity to forget about us being Jews. Our Judaism is something that we can't, and we're not allowed to be mesiach das from. And it's something that comes to the forefront of our mind, and now everybody in the whole world is trying to understand. So what does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean? What does that mean to me? Why do people care? Why do so many other people care? And why do I need to care about it? And that is a question that we can all ask ourselves. How can we live without being Mesiach Das, without taking our mind away from the fact that we're Jews? And that's something that can accompany us through everything we do throughout the year. How does a true Yid do things? How does a Yid vacation? How does a Yid do business? How does a Yid do chesed? How do we speak? How do we daven? It now dominates our thoughts. So, you know, we can't go 18 minutes without getting some other little clip of anti-Semitism that some person said in some college. It's the same thing. There's no 18 minutes should go by without us thinking about, okay, what do I need to do now as a Jew? What does a Yid do next? Every night, the second question of the Manishtana is, every night we eat shar yirokas, we eat other vegetables, but tonight it's kulei marv. And I think there's two possible ways to think about this. One is that tonight we have the ability to embrace and face the bitterness. Typically, we look away from it, we try to forget about it, we try to brush it under the rug, we try not to think about the difficult parts of life. But on the night of Pesach, we embrace it, and we force ourselves to recognize that the things that we've suffered in our own lives and that the nation has suffered as a whole are things that have made us better, and we appreciate the way it's made us better, and we therefore find a way to move forward and become greater and better because of it. But there's another thing as well. There's another point which is very important to think about, and I feel like it's a hashkafa that's been misunderstood. Throughout the year, so to speak, and the world attempted to look away from what's evil and what's really ra, what's really bad. And even now, even though it's been thrust in our faces, what the epitome of evil, people doing cruelty that really shook the fabric of what was considered, you know, normal society. And that kind of evil needs to be looked in the face. And we have to want it to be destroyed. We have to understand that all that anti-Semitism that came out after October 7th is a result of evil showing itself openly. When evil like that demonstrates, then it finds friends. And it causes other evil to propagate. And if we don't do anything about it, then there's a bigger Chilul Hashem, and it just gets worse. It's part of our job. When we talk about the night of Pesach, that the Mitzrim got punished with this Makkah, and that Makkah, and that Makkah, and then they got destroyed, it's a lot about what Hashem is doing for us, but it's also a lot about what Hashem does to destroy evil. There's an interesting misconception. You're not going to like the fact that I'm debunking this myth, but the truth has to be said. There's a pshat, it says in many Haggadahs, that we pour wine out of the kais, the drops, because we're demonstrating that we're not happy about the fact that the Mitzrim were punished, that human beings had to suffer. There's no source for that pshat, really. Someone wrote in a scholarly article, it's been attributed to the Barbara Bernal, he does not say it anywhere. It's been attributed to the Abu Draham, who's a Rishon, also doesn't say it anywhere. It was found in this, like a speech that a German rabbi gave, or a reputable rabbi, but a couple of decades ago. Now, what I went to say is like this. Think of it this way. Let's say I don't know how many of you saw the videos, and I hope you didn't, but if you did, and you saw the videos of the atrocities that they did on October 7th, and let's say that moment when they were doing something really horrendous, a lightning bolt would come and strike that person down, burn them to the ground. Would anybody feel a moment of pity for that person? No, we would not. We'd say, Baruch Hashem, you know, let him burn. And if a person doesn't feel like that, there's something wrong. The midah of that the Gemara talks about, that the Maisa Yadai Tevim Beyayim Vatamayim Shira, the my creations are drowning in the sea, and you, the Malachim, are saying Shira. We have to understand that's something for Malachim. It's not a human natural emotion, not even expected from human beings. It's a tremendous madrega to be able to do that. Anyone who thinks, like, naturally they felt bad, feel bad for the Mitzrayim, that they're, it's because we don't understand the kind of cruelty that they were doing. They were throwing babies into the water. They were doing disgusting acts of cruelty that we witnessed a little bit of it. And anybody that witnessed that will say, Baruch Hashem, Hashem showed the world that evil doesn't remain. Evil doesn't have the right to exist. At least one moment in history, Hashem openly showed that Ra gets its due. They'll get punished. They'll get destroyed. We're happy about that. We're not sad about that. The Madrega is that ultimately it would have been so much better if instead they would have all been tzaddikim. And all creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give Shavach and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very high level to go beyond what's natural for every human being to be able to feel that. It's not the Pashup Pshat, actually, in why we drop the drops out of the Kaisis. The Ramah says what the Pshat is. It's largely Al Pi Kabbalah, but it is the number that's important. We drop 16 drops. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sword, which has 16 sides to it, whatever that means, that he uses to punish evil. It's actually the opposite of that sentiment. So we don't like going around and saying how, you know, let's destroy all the bad guys. You know, that's perhaps, you know, there's something to that on a national level. But I think when faced with this kind of evil, what we want is that evil be destroyed. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Halay misanecha Hashem esna. Those who hate you, Hashem, I hate them. Tachlis sinas anesam, I hate them as the greatest hate possible. La'ivim ha'ili, they're personal enemies to me. And if we don't feel like that, it's then gives evil a place. And then they can flourish, and then more of this stuff can happen. It cannot be tolerated. And that's an important part of the Seder, actually. A big part of the Seder talks about how much the Mitzrayim were punished. 250 makas, 150 makas, 100 makas, whatever the pshat in that is. You know, spoke about that some other time. But it's an integral part of recognizing that there is, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately will punish those who are evil, and then good will prevail. Because being good is what's right. And it's what succeeds in this world. And sometimes you don't always get to see it in this world. Then we believe in the next world you'll see it. And it's just at the core of what we believe in why we serve Hashem. Number three. So every night we don't even dip once, and tonight we dip two times in salt water and charisis. So perhaps, you know, we dip things to give it a flavor. And the first 6 months of this year was flavored, I would say, with salt water, with tears. There was a lot of that. And we saw the terrible things, and tears have a big part in Yiddishkeit. That's the way we feel, what other people feel. We identify ourselves as one nation. We care about what's happening to the other Yid. There wasn't a Yid in the world that didn't feel the pain of other Jews, starting from Simchas Torah and on, and throughout this whole war, which hopefully now is coming to an end. And we hope now that the next 6 months of the year will be Charesis, which is all the qualities that Jews are proud of. Vaishanim, gam lechasadim, we're tzaddikim, we're modest, we do kindness with each other, we're rachmanim, we're merciful. And we hope that those midas which have truly become so strengthened in these first 6 months of tears will now be the focus moving forward. Those lessons that we've learned, to make that our chief and the most important thing about us as Jews and how we relate to each other, we hope that'll be our next 6 months forward. Even with the tragedy receding into the past, that'll be how that'll remain with us moving forward. And lastly, every night we sit, and tonight we lean, we do aseba derecheres. Perhaps till this year, we always thought that, is there such a big difference between us and people around us? And maybe we thought the people around us don't really think there's such a difference between us and everybody else. And now we know that that's not true. Everybody thinks we're different, and we need to think we're different. We're Mamalachas Kainim and a Goy Kadosh. We're a nation of kings, B'nai Malachim, B'nai Malachim. Every Jew is a Ben Malach or a Bas Malach, and we're a Goy Kadosh. We're a holy nation. And moving forward, we know there aren't such options anymore to doubt if we're the same or not. We're not. We have to live up to a much higher standard. We have to expect a lot more of ourselves. And we have to live derech eretz. We have to live representing the fact of what we are. We're the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to demonstrate to the world what it means. What kindness means. What it means to serve the Jewish God versus all other iterations. It's demonstrated through the tremendous beauty of Jews in so many ways. The mercy, the chassadim, the organizations, the way we help all people in the world. Derech Eretz has something that has to define us moving forward in the coming year. To summarize, we prepare for Pesach. We work very hard, and every ounce of that hard work is important and builds our Pesach. It builds our Pesach Seder. We benefit from it the night of the Seder. We reap the rewards of it, the Kedusha, the holiness of it, the preciousness of it is all because of the work we invested in it. And the night of the Pesach Seder creates a Seder for the whole year. And this year was a year in particular that we need some Seder. We need to incorporate the lessons that have been learned because the world has changed so much. And so much of what we know about Yiddishkeit has changed and become so real to us. And now it's time for us to incorporate it and help it, make it help us change our Yom Tovim that come that are coming throughout this year as well. And we can use perhaps the Manishana as a way to think about it, that you can't, Chametz is not an option, you can't be Mesiach Das, you can't not think about the fact that you're Jewish anymore and what it means to be a Jew. We need to embrace the Mara, the difficulty and the bitterness, and see what benefit it gives us. And at the same time, we also have to recognize that what's evil needs to be destroyed. And we have to look back at the 6 months of tears and all the goodness it brought out in us, the beautiful midas, and then emphasize those moving forward, the charesis, the beautiful qualities of Klal Yisrael. And lastly, we have to remember that we are B'nai Malachim, we're Jews, we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what makes us special, that's why we're set apart, and we have to live our lives representing that. And with that, may we be zeicha to the end of the bracha, that we should be smechem b'vinyan yirachav sasimar b'abay desechal. We should rejoice with the building of Shalom in the coming of Mashiach Tzakenu. May it be made. Amen.